The following is a Sunday feast lecture on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 5, text number 3, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari. Recorded on December 14th, 2014, in Lanesha, South Africa.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Gyeya. Sanitya sanyasi yona dvishti nakankshati nirvandahi mahabaho sukham bandat pramuchyate. Translation in purport by our beloved Srila Prabhupada. Ki jai. One who neither hates nor desires the fruits of his activities is known to be always renounced. Such a person, free from all dualities, easily overcomes material bondage and is completely liberated. O mighty armed Arjuna. Purport. One who is fully in Krishna consciousness is always a renouncer because he feels neither hatred nor desire for the results of his actions. Such a renouncer dedicated to the transcendental loving service of the Lord is fully qualified in knowledge because he knows his constitutional position in his relationship with Krishna. He knows fully well that Krishna is the whole and he is part and parcel of Krishna. Such knowledge is perfect because it is qualitatively and quantitatively correct. Concept of oneness with Krishna is incorrect because the part cannot be equal to the whole. Knowledge that one is one in quality yet different in quantity is correct transcendental knowledge, leading one to become full in himself, having nothing to aspire to or lament over. There is no duality in his mind because whatever he does, he does for Krishna. Being thus freed from the platform of dualities, he is liberated, even in this material world. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Bhadijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatnyadeshatarine. So, what is the difficulty that we are having? The difficulty is, even though we know that Krishna is the Supreme, and even though we know there is eternal servants, we're not fully absorbing ourselves in devotional service. Let's face the reality. We're still hovering on the material plane, trying to enjoy this material world, isn't it? But is there any enjoyment here? Is there any actual enjoyment in this place? No, there's not. So we're so stupid, we're so foolish. We continue to try to squeeze out pleasure. As there's a saying in English, trying to get squeezing blood out of a rock. We're trying to squeeze some pleasure from that place where there is no pleasure. This is described in the scriptures. Trying to chew that which has already been chewed. Somebody may buy a piece of sugar cane from the sugar cane wala. He may chew on it for a while and spit it out, and some poor man thinks, oh, there may be some sweetness in that sugar cane pulp. You see? So that's our position. We're trying to chew that which has already been chewed. Prabhupada says, chewing the chewed. We're trying to chew that which has already been chewed. If there is any pleasure at all to be had in this material world, it's long time finished. But we're still thinking, I can enjoy here, you see. So how do we get out of this trap that we're in, this some sort of illusion or hallucination that we're in right now? How do we get out of it? We have to hear from pure devotees. We have to hear from Srila Prabhupada. Because Prabhupada tells us like it is. He doesn't gloss it over and try to just flatter us with something. Prabhupada tells the truth. We have to hear the truth from those who have realized the truth. And by hearing the truth from those who have realized the truth, then we can actually get some vision of what is actually true and what's not true. And once you get a vision of what is the actual truth and you realize, I'm in a position of ignorance, a position of suffering now, I have to cure myself. I can't go on in a disease condition like this. I'm not happy in this disease condition. I have to do something to get me out of this disease condition, you see. And that's called the process of Krishna consciousness, which has different divisions. For us, it means sadhana bhakti. For the liberated souls, it's raga bhakti. That is also Krishna consciousness. The fully liberated souls, they also practice Krishna consciousness, but on the level of raga bhakti, spontaneous love. But we're not there, you see. We're still addicted to the material nature. Therefore, we have to follow the process of sadhana bhakti. It's described by Rupa Goswami. You have, first of all, you have faith, shraddha. You have faith that there is God. You have faith that I'm a spiritual being. I'm not of this material world. You have faith in this principle. And then, sadhu sangha, you associate with devotees. Those who are on the path of self-realization or those who have already achieved self-realization. You associate with these people. They are called sadhus or Vaishnavas. You associate with these people, you see. And that's called sadhu sangha. And then from there, you go to the next stage, bhajana kriya. Bhajana kriya means to engage in the activities of devotional service. You see, well, what do? They bow down and they come to the temple room, they chant Hare Krishna, they take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master by initiation, they give up illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling, they chant at least 16 rounds a day of Hare Krishna Japa Mala. So you see what those who have seriously committed themselves to this process are doing, and then you do the same thing. That's called bhajana kriya. And then by engaging this bhajana kriya, the most wonderful cleansing process then takes place on your consciousness. It doesn't happen instantly, but it happens gradually. And it's called anartana vritti. You gradually cleanse yourself of the dirt. You see, the lust, the anger, the greed, the madness, the illusion, the envy, the laziness, the craziness, which has been haunting you for millions and millions of lifetimes. You understand these points? This is a lifelong endeavor to achieve it, actually to completely achieve anartana vritti, which is the cleansing away of all the dirt in the heart. That is the uphill struggle. It's like you live in this town here, and there's a town over here. There's a big mountain range in between. There's the uphill part of the journey, and there's the downhill. So the uphill part of the journey is shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anartinavritti. Oh, working, working. I'm so lusty. I'm so angry. I'm so greedy. I'm so envious. Oh, I got to get rid of it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But if you work at it, you're dedicated. You keep chipping away at that. All those anartas with sincere devotional service, then gradually, gradually, you'll get to the top of the mountain where you achieve anartinavritti, and then after that, it's just... It's a downhill glide from there. After you get to anartinavritti, the next day, when you finally get to nishta, that's when you hit the top of the mountain, you see. Now you are solidly fixed in Krishna consciousness. And then from nishta to prema, it's a downhill glide. It's a downhill glide. It's easy after you get to nishta. After you cross through anartinavritti and become solidly fixed up in firm, unflinching faith, then everything becomes very easy. Yasya deve para bhaktir tata deve tata guru tasyaiti katita hyarta prakashante mahatmanaha. Only unto those souls who have achieved nishta, who have unflinching faith in the words of Guru and Krishna, are all the imports of Vedic knowledge revealed. When you get to that stage of nishta, when all your nartas are cleared out, 99.99%, you're a pure devotee now, you see, the nishta stage. And it's very easy. From nishta, you go into ruchi, where the name is so sweet. That name Krishna, those two syllables are so sweet that you can't imagine anything more wonderful, more attractive, more delightful anywhere within all of existence than these syllables. Krishna. This is by Rupa Goswami praise. Of course, he's on that perfectional stage, not like us neophytes, you see. He prays very nicely. Tunde tandamani viting vitinite tandavali labdiye karna kradeka dhammadi gachite kunabane vraspraham cheta pangana sangani vijaya sendaryanan prakim na jane janita kriyadbir amitai krishneti varnadvai. You know the translation? Anyone? Anyone know the translation? It's very nice. He says, I do not know how much nectar these two syllables, Krishna, have produced. Because when I vibrate Krishna, there's so much nectar oozing out from that person, Krishna, who is now literally dancing on my tongue, that my one mouth can't hold that nectar. There's so much nectar coming, shooting out from Krishna. Just imagine the gulab jamun. You bite into it, shoots out enough gulab jamun juice to completely fill the whole universe and break through the universal coverings. You understand? That's what Rupa Goswami is tasting when he says Krishna. Therefore he says, one mouth just doesn't cut it. One mouth is not enough. I need to have millions of mouths. And then Rupa Goswami says, and then when Krishna enters the holes of my ears, there's so much nectar. What two ears can do, I need to have billions and trillions of ears. And then when Krishna dances in the corridor of my heart, there's so much nectar. I mean, I'm just completely stunned. My mind is totally conquered, and I'm stunned. I'm paralyzed. In Transcendental Wonder, Bhaktivinoda Thakura also talks about being paralyzed in that nice bhajan, Kabe Habe Bolo Sedin Amar. How he becomes absolutely paralyzed by the power of the name. He's stunned, you see, in transcendental ecstasy. So, when you get to ruchi, this is how you finish your rounds every day. We pray for that day. When we actually feel how Krishna is dancing on our tongue, oozing out so much nectar that I got to have millions of mouths and billions and trillions of years. Now I'm just thinking, when I get these overs, I can go to sleep or I can go take some prasadam, you see? Just see what neophytes we are. We're bumbling neophytes. I hope I didn't step on your toes, but it's a fact. We are. We're bumbling neophytes. That's why we need to take shelter of great Vaishnava acharyas. Because by their mercy, by the power of their devotion, we can become liberated from this material existence. Otherwise, what's the hope on our own? You see? Can a dog swim across the ocean? Forget it. Can a dumb man deliver eloquent speeches? Forget it. Can a lame man cross the mountain? Forget it. But by the mercy of Guru, a dog can swim across the ocean, a lame man can walk across the mountain, and a dumb, illiterate idiot can deliver the most amazing, powerful, eloquent speeches. That's a fact. All by the mercy of Guru, you see. So we have to take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master. The bona fide spiritual master will liberate us from this material existence. He will liberate us. So therefore, we have to do that. So, this process is wonderful. This process of Krishna consciousness is not only wonderful, it's simply wonderful. Prabhupada was one time asked, Srila Prabhupada, what happens when we give somebody simply wonderful on the street? And Prabhupada said, he will eat that wonderful sweet and he will come to your temple and he will become simply wonderful. Then Prabhupada continued. He was so inspired by that question, he went on talking even further. He said, Krishna is simply wonderful. This process is simply wonderful. And then he said, and you all are simply wonderful. Just see how kind is Prabhupada. He said, we are all simply wonderful. And then one of the devotees said, Prabhupada is simply wonderful. And then Prabhupada said, that's all right. I've cured time. So this process is simply wonderful. Prabhupada says we are also simply wonderful. Don't get puffed up thinking, yeah, I'm simply wonderful. You should think you're simply terrible. That's how we should think. If you think you're simply terrible, then you are simply wonderful. You see what I'm saying? If I think, yeah, I'm simply wonderful because Prabhupada said I'm simply wonderful. Don't you all realize that I'm simply wonderful? You see, but not like that. But I think, yeah, I'm a rascal, I'm a rogue, I'm a demon. What does Bhaktivinoda say, you know? Gopina, mamadin vedano shuno, vishayi durjana, sada kamarata, kichunahi madaguna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I'm just a rascal, a demon. I have kichu nahi modaguna, you know the Bengali. I don't have any good qualities. Kichu nahi. Nahi means no, none. Moda, my guna qualities. Kichu nahi modaguna. I have no good qualities, you see. So as soon as you start thinking in a humble way like that, yeah, I'm just a rascal, I'm a demon, no good, asuram bhav. I'm the lowest, then you're recognized by Krishna, by Prabhupada, and by great devotees as being a transcendentalist, a simply wonderful transcendentalist. So this humility is very, very important. Don't be puffed up, Prabhupada told us. It's very, very important to cultivate humility. Someone said, well, can I think highly of myself? Is it okay? So what's the answer? Actually, it's a yes and no. It's kind of an interesting thing. Because, they say, well, if you don't think highly of yourself, you'll have low self-esteem. You won't be able to accomplish anything in your life. You won't have any confidence. So is it wrong to think highly of yourself? Well, actually, we do think highly of ourselves. But you have to know how to do it properly. First of all, I know that I'm a nonsense because I gave up Krishna's service to try to enjoy the material world. So I am a nonsense. But at the same time, I know my actual identity. I know that I'm an eternal associate of the Lord. I'm not this body. I'm not this identity, stupid identity I identified here in the material world. Male, female, human being, black, white, etc., etc. No, this is not me, you see. That's low self-esteem. Somebody who thinks they're the material body or they're John Smith or this such and such in the material world, that's true low esteem because they're hanging on to some material false identity. That is real low esteem. But you actually know, Jivara Svarupahoy Krishnera Nityadas, I am the eternal servant of Krishna. Everybody say that. I am the eternal servant of Krishna. That's thinking highly of yourself. You see, this, you think low and high at the same time. Yeah, I know I'm a rascal because I gave up Krishna's service, but I actually know my actual identity. So that you can think highly of yourself in that sense. Yes, I have the greatest identity, actually. I'm one of Krishna's associates. Actually, every single devotee, every single living entity is an intimate associate of the Lord. In the Lord's transcendental kingdom, he personally, intimately associates with each and every one of his millions and billions of devotees, personally. So actually, I have an intimate relationship with Krishna. I have a special relationship with Krishna. Everyone does. I have a special, personal, intimate relationship with the Supreme Personality of God and his eternal pastimes. So that's pretty high, thinking highly of yourself. But I'm such an idiot, I opted to be a worm in the stool instead, you see? So you take the humble mood at the same time. You understand, actually, I have the highest position to be one of Krishna's intimate associates in the spiritual world, you see. So in this way, we have to understand. And what's our cutoff point today? We're going to 11:30? And then some more. Oh, questions at that time. Okay, so we may have some. We have here 22 people tuned in from around the world also, so they're going to have questions. What we'll do is we'll have some extra time for questions, because we may get a lot of questions from around the world in different places. So anyway, we can take another look here at some of these points. This is interesting, the first point. One or another hates nor desires the fruits of his activities. So we're not really against, you know, getting fruits from our activities. Why can we say that? I mean, the Mayavadi, he doesn't want any entanglement in, you know, action, reaction. He just wants to, you know, this world is false. He just wants to negate the whole thing. Why is the devotee not uncomfortable or incompatible with the idea of having fruits from his activities, you see? Why? Because he offers the fruits to Krishna. He doesn't mind if he gets some result from his activities, because he thinks, oh, very good, I can offer these in the service of Krishna. So, in one sense, a devotee is very fruitive, you see? A devotee is actually the most fruitive person. Actually, he's more fruitive than some big entrepreneur, because the entrepreneur wants to become a billionaire, you see. He's very fruitive. He wants to get a lot of sales, make a lot of money. But actually, the devotee is even more fruitive, because he wants to make the entire world Krishna conscious, you see. His mission is to make the whole world Krishna conscious. So actually, the devotee is more fruitive than the fruitive workers. He wants to see a bigger fruit than the fruitive workers want to see. For the fruitive worker, what is the topmost position you can get? Brahma, to be the chief demigod of the whole material world. That's the zenith, or the ultimate point of fruitive work for a karmi, to become Lord Brahma, you see. There are such things as non-devotee Lord Brahmas, by the way. There are such things mentioned by Prabhupada, non-devotee Brahma. So to be the topmost powerful position in the material world, that's Lord Brahma in this universe. But for a devotee, that's not attractive at all. A devotee is not at all attracted to having. If you offer him the post of Brahma, he says, no, thank you. I'd rather be an insignificant insect in the house of a Vaishnava, you see, than to be a Lord Brahma. But the devotee has a very burning desire in his heart. He has a very, very, very burning desire in his heart. He cannot tolerate to see so many people suffering. It's horrible, actually. I experienced it yesterday as we entered into South Africa there in the Johannesburg airport. We came through the customs, you know, the immigration where they stamp your passport. And there was this girl there, you know, she was the customs immigrant, the agent, you know, stamping the passport. She was so miserable. Just like this, like the last, he wasn't thinking, I have a good paying job here with the government or something like that. Just like, when can I get out of here? You could just see it all over her face. When can I get out of here? She was looking in the huge queue. There's like 400 people out there in the line. You know, it was a huge queue. And And I tried to cheer her up a little bit. I gave her a big smile. I said, "Thank you very much." And she didn't even respond. She just had this glazed over look on her face. She couldn't even respond to a friendly smile and some kind words. I mean, this poor soul is suffering so much, you see. So that's what it's like in the material world. People are miserable here, you see. So devotees, they're very aggressive. They want to get as many books out as possible. They want to put big festivals. They want to do massive prasadam distribution. They can't tolerate to see the suffering and the misery going on around them. It just troubles them. They want to do something about it. So devotees dedicate their whole lives for preaching, for making devotees, for spreading Krishna consciousness, for having live and Harinam parties, everything they can do, you see. Devotees are very, very aggressive to want to put a stop to the suffering of the people of this planet. So devotees are actually transcendental fruitive workers, you see. We want to see the fruits of many, many, many thousands and millions of people coming to this movement. That's the fruit we want. We want to see that the whole world becomes Krishna conscious. That's the fruit that we want to see. What did Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur say? He said, when the high court judges wear tilak, then we are successful. So at least we want to see that much. That all the high court judges in every nation of this world are wearing Vaishnava tilak, you see. Then we can know, yeah. Jai. Hari Bol. Prabhupada predicted, actually, that in his, when he arrived, he wrote some prayer predicting that everybody would chant the holy names. Of course, he also said something that's not possible. So sometimes he said it would happen, sometimes he said it's not possible. So how are you supposed to recognize those apparently contradictory concepts? Prabhupada said it's not possible that the whole world would become Krishna conscious, and he also predicted it would become Krishna conscious. And Krishnadas Kaviraj also predicted that it would happen. You know that shloka? Anyone know that shloka? Sadjana jurdana pangu jadda anna ganna prema vanyaya du baila jagatara jana. This Krishna conscious movement, it is prema tsunami. And it will inundate the entire universe, drowning everyone, whether they are pious, impious, lame, invalid, or blind. Everyone will become drowned in this tidal wave of love of God, the Hare Krishna movement. Predicted by Krishnadas Kaviraj, who is one of the eternal associates of Lord, one of the gopis in the spiritual world, who has perfect transcendental vision of past, present, and future. So, Prabhupada also said it's not possible. So how do you reconcile these things? Materially, of course, it's not possible. But what did also Prabhupada say in Los Angeles when he told them, I gave them a deadline for producing all 17 volumes of the Chaitanya Charitamrita within a few weeks. And he said, Prabhupada, it's impossible. He said, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. So if you say it's impossible to make the whole world Krishna conscious, Prabhupada says, you're a fool. Of course, in the short run, it may be impossible. I admit, you know. The next 20 minutes, it may not be possible. But if you figure the 10,000-year period of Kali Yuga, it's quite possible if we take it slowly by slowly, step by step. And what's the first step we can do for making the whole world Krishna conscious? We have to become Krishna conscious. We have to be totally absorbed in this mood of Krishna bhakti. Not as a part-time hobby, but as my very life and soul. You understand? We have to make Krishna consciousness everything for us. I have not, besides Krishna consciousness, I don't care about anything else. One thing only, and that is to completely surrender to my spiritual master in Krishna. I have no other goal. I have no other ambition. That's it. That's it. If we have that, that's called one-pointed devotion. It's not splayed-out devotion. It's one-pointed devotion. If we have that kind of intensity of devotional service, that I have one desire only, and that is to become the pure devotee of Krishna. If we have that kind of determination, that kind of fixity of mind, we can spread this movement like wildfire in every country on this planet. You understand my point? It's simply we have to be intense in our own dedication, and then we can make a revolution in any country we go to. we can make a spiritual revolution. So we have to have this intensity of devotion. ISKCON is not a, don't take ISKCON as a social organization for socializing and making friends. It's all right, you can do that. That's a side benefit of ISKCON. But actually, ISKCON is a revolutionary movement meant to bring about the complete re-spiritualization of this entire human society. That is what we're about. That's what we're doing here. So please get with it. Get with the company, the family business, which is to make a spiritual revolution on this planet. Dedicate your whole life for this purpose. You may say, but it's not my nature, you know. I can't think like that. I mean, it's not my nature. I just want to, you know, watch some movies and you know, go to the temple and turn on the, watch the television, read some magazines. I mean, take it easy, all right? No, do yourself a favor. You see? Do yourself a favor. Put Krishna in the center at every minute. You don't need anything else to be happy. I don't have to go to the movies to be happy. Why don't you turn on the movies within your heart? The cinema within your heart. You see? Actually, there's a wonderful movie playing in your heart right now. It's called The Pastimes of Krishna. It's going on in full technicolor with stereophonic sound right now in your heart. You see? Prabhupada in the Bhagavatam calls it a mystic television. Why not tune into that movie? It's live coverage. Why not tune into that? You see? The great acharyas, they can do that. Well, you can become a great acharya also if you will follow this process strictly. 16 rounds and the four regulative principles under the order of your spiritual master. If you will follow, you can also become a great acharya, a great Vaishnava acharya who can see the pastimes of Krishna going on at every minute within your heart. You can do it. Simply take this process seriously. Don't take it, you know, whimsically. Take it seriously. So now I'm going to ask you some questions. Anybody here have some questions? Let's see if anyone have come in. Any of our internet audience have any questions? Okay, here's somebody from Mumbai. All right, we have some here too. All right. We'll take one from the internet first. In the process of bhakti, uphill means austere and downhill means smooth? That's the question. Actually, when you embrace the struggle of becoming Krishna conscious, it's all nectar. It's all nectar. The good times are nectar, and the difficult times are also nectar. And you know what? In the vision of great transcendentalists, the difficult times are the most nectarian times. Prabhupada said that about his early days of struggle in New York City before anyone came to help him, how those were the sweetest days when he had to fully depend on Krishna for absolutely everything. You see? And Kunti prays like that. Vipada shatitan shashvat tatatata jagangaro bhavanam darshanam yatshad apanabhava darshanam. Queen Kunti prays like this. My dear Krishna, please give me these difficulties again and again and again and again. Because when I'm in difficulty, then I completely absorb my consciousness in you. I can see you within my heart. And when I'm seeing you, I no longer will see the repetition of birth and death. Therefore, for those who are actually intelligent and awakened in Krishna consciousness, they take the difficult times as the most nectarian times of all. You see? So the difficult times are nectar. The easy times will also be nectar. So that's a nice understanding. So uphill struggle is great. It's nectar. So how do you make it nectar? You have to, I always say, embrace the struggle. Don't shun the struggle. Embrace it. You see? Prabhupada says failure is the pillar of success, especially in spiritual life. So either you're having difficulty, you're slipping along the way, you're having this problem and that problem. You have to try to understand those difficulties you're enduring and going through actually are stepping stones to take you to the spiritual perfection. So take them not as stumbling blocks, but take them as stepping stones, and you will find that actually they transform into the sweetest nectar. Okay. Question here from Lanesia, South Africa. The Anartha Nivritti stage seems unsurmountable. Yes, it is by material calculation. But by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, it's surmountable. How does one remain steady and confident through this difficult and unsavory phase? By having full faith in Guru and Krishna. That's how you make it through the Anartha Nivritti stage. You come out clean because you had complete faith in Guru and Krishna. You know, on my own strength, it is not possible. But by the power of Guru and Krishna, anything can be accomplished. Is there really no pleasure in the material world? Yes, there's absolutely no pleasure in this material world. There is none. But there is an illusion of pleasure. That's called Maya Sukaya. I'll give you an example. You're dying of thirst in the desert, okay? And somebody comes along to you, they say, look, I got some water for you. They go, oh, water, water, give it to me, yeah. And they put on an eyedropper and they put two drops on your tongue. Is that going to save you? No. Is it going to agitate you? Yes. So material happiness is like, it's like two drops of water in the desert on the tongue of a dying of thirst man. It may appear to be a very nice idea. Oh, my tongue feels wet, but what good did it do you? Did it quench your thirst? Did it save you from starving, from dying of dehydration? No, it didn't, you see. So this happiness of the material world, it's simply a cheating illusion. Because what do you get to gratify? Your tongue, your genitals, right? Or your false ego? These things that are gratified are not actually you. You see? You say, I'm really hungry, and you say, here, stick your shirt sleeve in the bowl of dal. You see? It's not really you that gets satisfied. It's just the false conception of who you are. Your false conception of who you are gets gratified, but you don't get gratified. You only get gratified when you connect with Krishna. That's the only way you can do that. Try to understand this point. The only way you can get gratified and satisfied and happy and fulfilled is when you connect with Krishna. Otherwise, you're never going to get it. I don't care what you do, how much money you have, how much sex life you may enjoy, how much fame you may have. I don't care what you do in this material world. You can never be happy here in millions and billions of lifetimes. The only thing that can satisfy you is to become connected with Krishna. You spoke of the uphill battle. Does spiritual life ever become easy? Sure. As soon as you embrace the struggle, it's easy. As long as you shirk the struggle, it's difficult. As soon as you embrace it, just like a Band-Aid. You ever had to take a Band-Aid off on your wrist and you have all the hairs there? There's two ways to take off a Band-Aid. One hair at a time. Oh, 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 oh. Or you can just go, shup, finished, you see. So what do we do? Sometimes we go one hair at a time. Oh, it'd be too painful to take it off in one pull, right? So I'll just go one hair at a time. Oh, 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 oh. But I just go, shup, finished, you see. So we take Krishna consciousness one hair at a time. That's the problem. See, just going, shup, finished. We take it one hair at a time. That's called the mode of ignorance. We're tamagunis. We want to take it one hair at a time. You see? But Prabhupada's very kind, even though we're a bunch of tamagunis. He's pouring his mercy on us, you see? Pouring his mercy on us. Keep us, even though we're going one hair at a time. We make it hard by going, that the reality is we do go one hair at a time. That's the reality. Those who are making progress are doing it. Some are putting more band-aids on. And some are taking off one hair at a time, you see. So anyway, even one hair at a time we're making progress, you see. So let's see if we have any more questions from overseas here. How to always remember to think about Krishna during the day when one is engaged in one's material life duties? Well, there's all kinds, depends. If you have an office job, you can put a picture of Prabhupada, Krishna, your spiritual master, you know, on your desk. Just like I used to work in a corporation, you know, everybody had their wife and kids, you know, to inspire them. Or maybe they had a picture of Fiji Islands getting ready for their vacation, you know, to inspire them. You could have a picture of the spiritual world, you know, Krishna's pastimes in Goloka, your vacation to inspire you. I'm going on vacation in Krishna Loka forever as soon as I get out of here. But anyway, just like they inspire themselves to work like an ass all day at that job by having a picture of their wife and kids there, you can have a picture of Guru, Krishna, Prabhupada, Goloka Vrindavan. And there's other things you can do also. I know I was an award-winning salesman for MCI Corporation. It's a big telephone company in the U.S. I've told this story before. Some of you have heard. Maybe not you all have heard. So I'll tell that again. So, you know, to get a job, you grow your hair a little bit. And so you look like a regular Joe off the street. You put a curtain tie over your Kanti Mala, you know. Take off your tilak. Maybe put some water tilak or something. But you go to work, you know, looking like a regular Karmi to get hired. You bring in your resume, yeah, blah, 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 blah. You don't say how you're a brahmachari, you know, offering RT or something. Yeah, you go in, you get hired in the company. And so I did that. And I got hired, and I became one of their top-notch salesmen. And but I was thinking, here I am coming to work every day, you know, no tilak. I don't like this. I said, one day, just like there's a store called Toys R Us. Do they have that chain here? So tilak R Us, you see? Tilak R Us. We are tilak men, you see? And women too, you know. We are tilak men. So one day I said, enough is enough. I'm wearing tilak to work. I don't care what happens. I'm wearing tilak to work today. So I got down there on the phone, you know, I was sitting at the phone, you know, I had this headset and the calls come in automatically and every call would come in, you have to convince them to buy the product. And I was selling like hotcakes, boom, 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 boom. That day I was really selling, and my boss, who gets a commission on my sales, he was like, wow. Look what my car name is Bridge, you know, like Bridge Bossy. He said, look what Mr. Bridge is doing over there today. Wow. At the end of the day, he said, Mr. Bridge, I don't know what that is on your forehead, but from now on, you must wear it every day. So, just find, if you have a desire to be Krishna conscious while you're at work, you know, Krishna will find you, help you find some ways to do it, you know. Another trick is you have put a Bhagavad Gita in your drawer. Or actually, put one Bhagavad Gita on your desk and have a second copy in the drawer. And then during your break time, some co-worker, every day they walk by your cubicle and they saw that Bhagavad Gita. You know, there's a Krishna and Arjuna. What is that book, you know? Finally, one of them say, what is that book? And they say, here's another copy. You can have it, you see. We just ask a little donation to help us cover the printing cost. That way, if they give a little bit, they're more inclined to read it, you see. So I actually know a godbrother, he made a devotee like that. He was working as a consultant in one of these computer consulting companies, you know, wearing a coat and tie and the whole nine yards. But he put a Gita there, and he made a devotee, just like putting a Gita on his desk. My godbrother, Ramiya Das, who's in Alachua, Florida now, is a devotee, made a devotee. He was a co-worker there at some consulting firm in Detroit, and he became a devotee just because another devotee put a Bhagavad Gita on his desk every day. So just little things, you know, cookies in the break room, you know. Prasadam cookies once a week in the break room comes to talk. Always bringing those cookies today, you see. So just do everything you can. You know, you got to keep your job, obviously, but do everything you can to infiltrate Krishna consciousness into the world. And Krishna will help you. I know my job, it was actually, I just working part-time job, 4 hours a day. We had a 15-minute break. So I took my japa beads to work, and during that 15 minutes, I'd take my beads, I'd just be walking up and down, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, in front of everybody, you know, not that I have to hide it, in front of everybody, chanting my rounds, walking up and down the hall, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You see, we're not ashamed of our culture. I see the Muslims, they're not ashamed of their culture. In the airport, they get down and pray to Mecca on the floor right there in the Delhi airport. We're not ashamed of our culture. I'm embarrassed, I'm embarrassed to be a follower of Krishna. No, we're proud of our culture. And we don't mind. I fly everywhere in a dhoti. If you look at my luggage, I don't have a pair of pants in my luggage. I'm circling the globe with a dhoti only, okay? No pants. A dhoti only. I'm going in a dhoti, kirtan, tilak, all over. I'm circling the whole world right now. I'm around the world tour in a dhoti only. So you don't need to hide your identity. And sometimes it's really amazing. My wife and I entered into the UK on our way down here. We passed through the UK. And the customs official looked at my wife's tilak. And what did he say? What did he say?
I really like that marking on your
forehead. And then we had the most amazing conversation. While he was stamping our passport and the whole thing, it was wonderful. It was really wonderful. It was the most enlivening. It was one of the most amazing experiences I ever had traveling as that customs official, because we went through with tilak, you see, and it was wonderful. So, don't think you have to hide your Vaishnava identity. Be proud of your Vaishnava identity. Use it everywhere for pushing forward Krishna consciousness wherever you can. Wherever you can, push it forward. Okay, what is now? We have from Delhi, actually from Noida, which is just near Delhi. What does it mean to see Krishna everywhere? Yamang pashyati sarvacha sarvang chamai pashyati. Krishna says, "One who sees me everywhere, from one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me." Well, it can mean many things. For the neophyte, it can mean seeing everything according to the scriptures, just like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. Actually, Prabhupada told us, the first lecture I ever heard of Prabhupada was in Golden, to hear live, I heard recordings, but to hear a live lecture of Prabhupada, I heard it in Golden Gate Park in San Francisco in 1971, in the summer, when he sat down on Lady Subhadra's cart and gave a wonderful lecture. And he says, actually, every one of you have seen God, he told us. Every one of you have seen God. Because Krishna says, I am the light of the sun and the moon. He said, Krishna says, I am the taste of water. He says, every one of you, he says, every day you are drinking water. Once, twice, thrice, more than that, if every time you drink water, you remember that Krishna is the taste of the water, then immediately you become Krishna conscious. So for we neophytes, we can see Krishna everywhere in this way. Krishna says, I'm the ability in man. I'm the taste of water. I'm the light of the sun and the moon. I'm seated in the hearts of all living entities. We can meditate on this point. I'm a purifier as I am the wind. For us neophytes, we can see Krishna in this way everywhere. But as you advance in Krishna consciousness, you will actually realize that Krishna himself in his original form is fully manifest within every atom. This is confirmed in the Brahma Samhita. Ekopyasa vrichavitam jagananda ko tim yat shakti rasti jagananda chaya yadanta andantarasta padamanu chayantarastam govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. He is an undifferentiated entity, as there is no distinction between potency and the possessor thereof. In his work of creation of millions of worlds, his potency remains inseparable. All the universes exist in him, and he is present in his fullness in every one of the atoms that are scattered throughout the universe at one and the same time. And then Brahmaji says, such is the primeval Lord whom I adore. See. So, confirmed by Lord Brahma, Krishna is fully present within every atom. So, can I see him yet? No. I'm a neophyte. But do I know he's there? Yes. So, by having faith in the words of the great acharyas, that gives you what's called Shastra Chakshus, the ability to see everything through the eyes of Scripture. And by having that faith in the words of the Acharyas and the words of Krishna, then gradually, you will be able to see him. And Prabhupada told me, he ordered me, he said, now you just become qualified to see Krishna face to face. So that day will come, if you have faith in the words of Guru and Krishna, that day will come when you will directly see Krishna with your own eyes standing in front of you. Just like Dhruva Maharaj was able to see Krishna, Narada Muni was able to see Krishna, that day will come when we can also see Krishna. You see? If we follow this process with full faith. Okay. All right, another question from... This is a question now from Melbourne, Australia. What is other devotees say not to... What is other devotees say not to wear dhoti at the airport or wherever I want? In other words, he's asking, what if devotees say you shouldn't really wear a dhoti when you go to the airport? You shouldn't wear it, you know, when you go shopping. You got to, you know, I mean, you wouldn't want to wear a dhoti when you go shopping. And people may think you're weird, you know. I mean, what are you afraid of? Somebody might come up to you and say, it happened to me. I have my e-course, you know, on the internet. And so I have students from all over the world. So I was in the grocery store one day, and so one of my students who never met me recognized me. I was walking in a dhoti. She said, excuse me. She came running up to me like I was some rock star or something, you know. I thought it was just somebody. I was thinking, who's this weird person? I just kept walking, and then I realized it's actually somebody who recognized me in my dhoti, my tilak, that I was the one who was instructing her via the internet, and she wanted to meet with me personally. So, hey, what's the wrong? Prabhupada says that the policeman is recognized by his uniform, and the devotee is recognized by his devotional garb. Sometimes some people say, you know, we should really dress like karmis, we look too weird, or putting people off, but actually... Are the police supposed to go undercover? There are signs they're undercover police, but generally they go, so if you need a policeman, you know, there's a policeman, I need some help. Somebody just picked my pocket, you know, there he goes running down the street, go get him, you know. So actually Prabhupada was asked one time, it's a wonderful, you should hear this MP3 recording. I would play it now if we had time. I have it on my computer. We don't have time, but it's the most delightful interview you've ever heard with Prabhupada. One reporter in New York City at the airport said, Swamiji, why do you ask your followers to dress for what in the West seems to be such a strange fashion? And Prabhupada said, this is our preaching method to somehow or other attract their attention. And that they will know that, so they will know that we are Hare Krishna people. And the devotees cheered in ecstasy. We're proud of being Hare Krishna people. We want people to know there's a Hare Krishna movement going on here in South Africa. And the fact that I'm here in a dhoti or a sari and tilak proves it. We want people to know about it. We're not ashamed of it. We don't want to merge in, you see, and just be one of the normal sick people of this world serving the senses as the end all and be all of existence. We are spiritual revolutionaries. Our goal is to turn the whole world upside down, and our dress style is part of that. Now, you don't have to dress this way. No, you don't have to. You don't have to. Prabhupada said you can be Krishna conscious in any dress. So it's not required. Prabhupada never told the boys they had to wear dhotis. He never said that. But on their own enthusiasm, they said, Swamiji dresses like this. We want to dress like Swamiji dresses. And they took it up on their own enthusiasm, and then Prabhupada encouraged them. He even helped Ayagriva put on the dhoti. He helped him put it on. He taught him how to do it by actually putting it on his body and showing him how to put on a dhoti. So dhoti is maya. Prabhupada helped him put on a dhoti. So myself, I've been wearing Vaishnava dress since 1971. And, you know, I only wear a pair of pants when I have to, like when I'm crossing into the Russian border, remote corner station, or going to a Muslim country or something like that. I may have to sometimes. But otherwise, I'm always wearing a dhoti. So, now here's the same devotees. I love to wear it because it makes me feel I'm in my original being. Yeah, that's right. It reminds you that who I am, you see. It reminds you that I'm not this body, I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. It helps you remember who you are. It's good for your own Krishna consciousness. So he says, if other devotees stop you from wearing a dhoti in such places, I mean, they tell you you're not allowed to wear a dhoti when you go to the airport. Now, one thing for book distribution, you may find it, some devotees find they can do better wearing non-devotional clothes, and that's okay, because your purpose is to give Krishna consciousness. But if you just, and I don't know why they would say you're not allowed to wear a dhoti outside of the temple. You know, you can't wear it. This is the free. You know, the countries now, these are democracies. They allow freedom. It's not that you have to just wear a corporate uniform and you're not allowed on the street unless you're wearing a coat and tie. People are allowed to dress in any decent way they like to. I mean, why would devotees stop you from wearing a dhoti when you go shopping or you go to the airport? It doesn't make any sense. I can't understand it. Any more questions? We have about 5 minutes left, I think, isn't it? Let's see if there's any more coming in from the internet. Well, that's it. I don't see any more questions from the internet audience, nor there's none from the Lanesha audience. Let's see. I'm looking, scrolling through here, this chat window. Oh, here we go. A few devotees feel it is okay to eat without offering when you're in Vraj Mandal, because everything's prasadam in Vraj. That's the idea. You're in Vrindavan, so everything is already offered. That's completely bogus. Why did Prabhupada establish offering prasadam to the deities at the Krishna Balaram temple if everything is already prasadam in Vrindavan? You can't offer prasadam. You can only offer bhoga. You can't offer something twice. If everything in Vrindavan is already prasadam, then how we can offer anything to, how we can feed Krishna Balaram? Because it's already prasadam. This is a completely bogus idea. You have to, whatever you eat, you see, you must first offer to Krishna. Whether you're in Vrindavan or whether you're in Malaysia, South Africa, it doesn't matter where you are. Everything you eat, yagyashishtashanashanto mutchante sarvakil vishai bundate te pagam papam ye pachant makarana. The devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food which has been offered first for sacrifice. Others who prepare food for personal sense enjoyment verily eat only sin. If you're not offering it to Krishna, it is simply sense enjoyment and you're doing nothing but eating sin. So always make sure to offer your food to Krishna. Okay, we've covered all the questions, both here in Malaysia and from the internet audience. So we thank you all very much for coming today to the Hare Krishna temple. Please make this Krishna consciousness your whole life is simply for pleasing Krishna, pleasing Prabhupada, pleasing your spiritual master, pleasing the devotees. Keep yourself always in this mood of serving Guru, Krishna, Prabhupada, and the Vaishnavas. And if you do so, that day will come very soon when you will see Krishna face to face. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.